Hello and welcome to this special edition of Rush Hour. I'm your host, Harold Lee Rush, and I've got a very important session today with a very important person. Her name is Cheryl Batts. She's the president and founder of Phoebe, the Usuri Project, which Phoebe means people helping others excel by example. How are you, Ms. Batts?
I'm doing fine, Harold. And how are you?
I'm doing outstanding. Now, I want to get into this right away because I know you've got a lot of information to share, and it's such an important project that you and a whole group of people have been working on for some years. First of all, tell me about how Phoebe came to be.
Phoebe's history goes back almost 20 years through its programs, exhibits, and lectures. We have been preserving, protecting, and promoting for people to see the African-American history and culture of Hot Springs. So as you do that, you know, you don't just stick in your town. If you really do research, you find out that there are other connecting things, especially, Harold, you know, as a historian, if you go way back, we were all interconnected, and that happened just simply because of segregation. Mm-hmm. So we had no other choice, you know, than to just be interconnected in all of the things that we were doing. And over the years, we found out that there was a genuine connection between Hot Springs, Arkansas, and Chicago. And I'm sure that a lot of it had to do with the Great Migration, but above and beyond that, I think it had a lot to do with jobs. It had a lot to do with everybody feeling that there was room for advancement in Chicago. And so we found a lot of our senior citizens that had stories to tell about having gone to Chicago and then come back to Hot Springs and then back to Chicago. And they did that for years.
So now this project led you to, I know, a desire to create something of a permanent nature for the community. And so is that what originally led you to Mr. Webb?
Yes, the senior citizens that we interviewed, and let me explain that we did do interviewing as adults, but some of our youth in the community had been taught how to do oral history interviewing, and so they had gotten involved with the seniors. And seniors, you know, they love kids, so I should say young people. So what they did was we found we got a lot of information about what was going on back in the day by putting the senior citizen with the young adult person. And it just turned out that we got lots of pictures. We got lots of oral histories on film. And so it gave us an archive of information. Now, there's always a thread in oral history. Some people in the years past have not accepted oral history as a significant way to research and document. But the third world country people, this was what it was for us. You know, you couldn't
write. That's right.
So we had to do, this is how we did it. So we found that there was a thread of information through every story that we talked about with our senior adults. And this thread was John Lee Webb. John Lee Webb. It just kept coming up. Mm. And I was like, well, you know, who is this guy? You know what I'm saying? You know, who is he? And as it turned out, he was probably the most prolific entrepreneurial person that hit Hot Springs in, around 1919 after the Great Fire of 1913 in Hot Springs. Mm. And it was an amazing ride. He came in 1919 and began to look around, I'm sure. And then by 1923, he began to build a building called the Woodman of Union Building. You remember that when you came?
I visited there, and I was just fascinated with it. And then it turned out my grandfather had actually gone there.
Yes, a lot of African Americans over the years had gone to the Woodman of Union Building, and at the time, I'd say around the late 40s and 50s, 60s, 70s, till it closed. It was also known as the National Baptist Hotel and Sanitarium, which was the headquarters for the National Baptist Convention, and so it was always full. And he built the building. He was the contractor for that building. Mm-hmm. And so that was like in 1923. So 1933 finds him building this building and getting it set up and being again, very much ahead of his time, an excellent meeting planner. I mean, he planned meetings from the National Baptist to the National Colored Teachers Association, and then we also found that the Policy Kings, the National Association of Policy Kings, came to Hot Springs during that time as well. So we had the good, the bad, and the ugly in Hot Springs, and they were making this figure eight. They were out of Chicago into Hot Springs, out of Hot Springs into Chicago. And based on, you know, other bits and parts of information, you know, our porters, our restaurant workers, the guys that worked the tables and waiters and stuff like that, they made that same figure eight over and over again for years. And so when we began to talk to the seniors and they told us about Mr. Webb, they told us about the building, I found one day a very tiny book that was very old. It was copyrighted 1926. And I opened it up, and whose name was in there except Mrs. John Lee Webb, as the person who copyrighted the book, you know, got the book copyrighted. And I just had to sit down to catch my breath, because in those 66 pages was information that I knew that I had not heard in all of my 60 years. So that meant that people beyond me had not heard this information either. So it was a ride for, you know, I read it overnight, and I just kept looking at it and thinking about the context in which it was written during segregation, and the amount of information and the way that this man worked all across this country. He didn't just come to Hot Springs and build the Woodman of Union Building. What happened was it became the headquarters for an organization called the Woodman of Union Fraternal Order. And I understand that fraternal order came out of Jackson, Mississippi. And, you know, so once we pinpointed that information and began to read, we found out how much money was spent in building the building, which was something like $500,000. Now, come on.
Wow.
We're talking 1926. And so if you multiply that today, that would be millions of dollars that Mr. Webb had access to. And once he built the building, then the area surrounding the building began to improve. He believed that everybody working there should live within distance, walking distance, of the building. So he began to build these homes and brick houses and stuff all along what is now called Pleasant Street, which is now a historic district in Hot Springs. And so all of this was tied together. It, you know, like I said, for him to be as involved as he was, we found out that that he was not only industrious and a philanthropist, but they honored him. He was called the Honorable John Lee Webb, Supreme Custodian of the contractor of the building.
And if I'm not mistaken, he was very strong about owning, about the ownership, and that the land and buildings be free of debt.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, he was. And I'll tell you how we know that. Again, in this book written by Sutton E. Griggs, who ended up being a pastor at a church where he passed away, I think it was either in Nashville or Memphis. But prior to that, he was like a civil rights activist. This Griggs was. I mean, you know, he was like on it. And the way that he explained it is when Webb took over being the head of the Masons, when he went in, they were in debt. And he was in Mississippi. The Mississippi put the Smiley Law into effect, saying that you had to pay $10,000 in order to have those, to have the fraternal orders.
Wow.
And so who had the $10,000? The man paid the $10,000 and saved the Woodman of Union Fraternal Orders from going out the door backwards.
Wow.
And that covered 14 states in the United States. And I'm not sure about Puerto Rico, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the kind of, you know, so here
this
man
is amazing.
This
is amazing history. You're telling me this is absolutely mind-blowing. Go ahead. I'm just fascinated.
Okay. I know, and I get excited when I start talking about it because I recognize I don't even know if they actually knew what they were doing and the significance it would have to us as a people, to our children, and to the history of the United States, this kind of work. I mean, to go from an organization that was in debt to an organization that not only did he get them out of debt, but he kept them out of debt and built on it and reestablished the fraternal orders. And, of course, fraternal orders were always good. They were never like the mafia or anything. The fraternal orders were always building, like, you know, involved in the community and making sure people had that burial insurance and making sure the churches had what they needed to have and giving children money so that they could go to school. This man gave so much money to Morehouse that they named a competitive oral history contest after him. And guess who won the contest, though?
Who?
Dr. Martin Luther King.
You know, now that you mention that, I do recall seeing something in his biography about something like that. That's what it was. I'll be darned.
I know. And see, when you put it in that perspective, it was like he was still far-reaching not that long ago.
Right. And you talk about that thread.
Hey, it was the thread. I just kept listening to our seniors, and they kept talking about that. And so I was just in amazement when I read the book. Well, of course, now we took the book, and I did all the research after I read the book and added more, because the book was published in 1926. He didn't die until 1947. So
okay.
I covered the other 26 years with our youth getting stories, with senior adults bringing us information. So we covered the other 26, and here we ended up with the book.
Wow.
Another book.
Yes.
Another book. And the book that we ended up with actually won, I believe it was 2013, prestigious Ned Strength Preservation Publication Award through the Preserve Arkansas, which is like a state organization.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought that we could have did it. I didn't see myself as a writer, but I had two ladies, Dr. Patricia McGraw and Janice F. Kearney, who is a writer. Both are writers on their own right, joined me and encouraged me and helped me to put the research and documentation together for Phoebe, and we won that award. I was just flabbergasted.
So now let's move forward to the house, because I want to make sure we give plenty of time to explain about the house and why you're doing what you're doing with the project.
Okay. Well, after the word got around about the house, about the book and who Mr. Webb was, we always knew his house was there. But
mm-hmm.
as a small nonprofit organization, you know, in a small community where, you know, we're not at the top of the food chain. You know that.
Right.
We're not going to be at the top of the food chain. Everybody think about getting some money. They're not going to be thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So the house was going into bad disrepair. And all I
now, we're talking about the house that he lived in.
That he lived in. John L. Webb lived in that house. It had been, the house was built actually in 1900, but our earliest records for it is 1908. But one of the early family members said it was built around 1900. But we found information for 1908. And so from 1908 until 2014, there were various people that lived in the house. But he was living in the house, and we believe that he added, that there was brick added to the house, and we believe that he added that brick to the house. And it is a Victorian, Queen Victorian house that sits on a corner lot. And in the condition that it's in, needing more work, it's still worth $25,000.
Okay. Now, how did you, did Phoebe end up with the house?
Well, we sure didn't buy it. That's for sure. That is one of the greatest, one of the greatest ways that you can be told that this is what you're called to do.
Mm-hmm.
We put the house, the lady bought the house, and we were so happy because she seemed to have our same spirit
mm-hmm.
about saving the house and getting it put back together. And so she wanted to know what we could do to help her. And I said, well, listen, we can get it put on Arkansas's most endangered places, which brings it to the attention of people on a state level, which is good. We did.
Mm-hmm.
But she was very happy about that. And so we got it put on the register, you know, for Arkansas's most endangered places. And I went to Indianapolis for a vacation. I was on a vacation. And this woman called me up and said, I want to spend more time with my grandchild. I've talked to my fiancé. We want to give you the house. Can you call us back and let us know what you want?
Wow.
That's
I know you must have looked at that phone and said, wait a minute, is this for real?
I did. I did. I mean, I was looking for proverbial small plants.
Yeah, right.
But you
said it a minute ago when something tells you that you are meant to do something. And so from that point on, your mission was actually set.
It was. It was. And we worked, we have been working feverishly to get the house saved, which we did.
Okay.
It's not off of Arkansas's most endangered, because there's still some things about the house that need to be done. It's a 100-year-old house, so you have roof problems. It's all brick, so the bricks need to be we took part of the bricks off to look at the foundation and to look at the wood underneath, and that needed some work. And so we want to go back and redo all of the brick around the house. So we do have a plan. We do have a phased plan for working on it.
But what is it that you want to use the house for?
That's exciting. What we want to do is use the top floor for the children to continue their work in learning their history, leadership skills, self-development, for jobs, how to dress, how to speak, how to walk, manners, and etiquette. We want to still be teaching them that. And then the lower floor, everywhere you look, will be pictures of the happenings and the people from Hot Springs, from as early back as 1863. And some of the artists in the community, fine artists, have said that they would be willing to give us artwork to put in what we're doing so it blends with whatever exhibit we decide to do. They want to do something. So that means a person visiting the house would not only see the pictures that are on the wall that represent the history, but they would also have an opportunity to view fine art that complemented what they were looking at. So we already have this, you know, we already have people who have said that this is something that they really want to do, and they really want to see the house saved.
Wow.
So that's the end result. Meanwhile, you know, you got phase one, two, and three. The entire house is going to cost us anywhere from $300,000 to $500,000 to do.
Okay.
And because it is a historic house, we've already landed. We've already landed $102,000.
Wow.
Towards that goal.
Again, we're talking with Cheryl Batts, who's the president and founder of Phoebe People Helping Others Excel by Example. We're talking about the John Webb House and creating something that is not only historic, but it will also work itself into the future in a very important way. You know, I understand that you're in a fundraising phase. That's something that's ongoing. But I know that you're also looking to identify and connect with people who have an Arkansas connection, not just here in Chicago, but where I am, but all over the country, because all over the country there are people who have Arkansas connections. And so you want to be able to reach them, and there are tasks that they can help you with, not just in terms of fundraising, but in terms of history and things like that, right?
Absolutely. Because Mr. Webb was intimately involved with the National Baptist Conference, he was the founder and the creator of the National Layman's Auxiliary, which is now called the National Layman's Movement within the National Baptist Convention.
Mm.
They still celebrate him today every year with a banquet at their national convention. So we know that there are probably elders and seniors that had pictures of the hotel and did things when they came here back in the day in the early 1950s, even some prior to his death. So we're looking to find out more information about Mr. Webb, more information about the African-Americans that came to Hot Springs during the heyday of Hot Springs, and to document that, because the more pictures we have, the more we can document, and the more exciting it makes the exhibits that we provide to the people that come. We found that the house is right in the, is the only African-American tourism piece that would be a part of the Hot Springs redevelopment procedure that they're doing now in Hot Springs. On the outskirts. So they're spending large money downtown, and here we are sitting there like, okay, so again, we ain't up the top of the chain, but you know what? We got to know some people. The people we know can come and see the house. We have eyes to see historians, educators, genealogists, people whose parents used to come to Hot Springs, and they've got pictures and everything. The more we have, the more we can push to get in the chain that that has things going on in Hot Springs. We can become a more viable piece of fabric to that, to our own community. Because, see, that's going to put us in not only a position of tourism, but it's also going to put us in a position of economic and community development.
Yes, yes.
See,
and I love the fact that, that you have the young people involved, and you're giving, you want to give them something that they can work with into the future, and that's so important to connect the past with the future.
Exactly, exactly. Now, and we also want those children, as they work with us, they're not just going to be working with us for nothing. As they learn, we're going to pay them a stipend for being historians. Instead of me, maybe in 3 years, you'll be talking to them, and they'll be telling you the history. You know what I'm saying? You know,
well,
and
real
this
quick,
program really has proven works.
Okay, I want to get some information in here. Number one, for people who are listening to this podcast, what are some of the ways in which they can get in touch with you to get more information?
Okay. First of all, everybody is on Facebook. So they can go to Facebook and look up Save the John Lee Webb House. It'll come up the Hot Springs, Arkansas. Get in there and
Save the
around.
John Lee Webb House on Facebook.
That's on Facebook,
okay.
And if they want to talk to me, the best thing to do is to email me at savethejlwhouse@gmail.com.
savethejlwhouse@gmail.com.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Beautiful, beautiful. And now this conversation is taking place in 2016. Give me some idea of what you're looking for in the next phase, say over the next 6 months to a year. What are you looking to accomplish?
Well, in the next 6 months, we want to be able to, we're getting ready to put out a crowdfunding piece. And so we're going to get the word out there. I'll be sure and call you when it's up so that people can go and make a donation. We want to come up with $50,000 even prior to that so we can weatherize the house. Now we have the we've got the money for the roof through a grant. We have the money for the windows for the grant.
Oh, wow.
But we do not have the money for the bricks. We need to raise money for the bricks because, see, it doesn't make sense to put a roof on the house and fix the windows if the bricks that are supporting the windows and the roof is not in order. So
right.
We're not going to be crazy enough to take people's money and not do it in the proper steps. We have an excellent architect, Kundichi. Kundichi is an excellent architect, and I might say, by the way, African-American.
He's
one of the best in our state. And he's kind of a no-nonsense, in-your-face guy. He knows his history. His work is just unbelievable. I mean, when he details it out for you, it is detailed out. So he has been really an honor to work with and a blessing to us in terms of keeping us right where we need to be so that when we show up at the meeting, we may be not at the top of the chain, but our work is at the top of the chain.
Wow, Cheryl Batts, you are amazing, and the people you've been working with, you all are amazing. And it's so important at this time in this country for what you're doing. And I'm just pleased to know you, and I want to be able to help as much as I can to get the word out and to see this project through the entire process. Again, for anybody who wants to get in touch, they can go to Facebook at Save the John Lee Webb House, and by email it's Save the JLW House at gmail.com, correct?
That is correct, and we'll give them all the information they need to be a part of this.
Again, Cheryl Batts of Phoebe, People Helping Others by Example. Thank you so much for spending some time with us here on Rush Hour.